And now the game where people who have come a long way get a chance to see what they thought they had left behind. It's called Not My Job. So Josh Groban is one of those classic showbiz stories. So Andrea Bocelli is sick. He can't sing at the Grammys tonight. Well, who can fill in? How about this 17-year-old unknown music student? Well, Josh went out there an unknown and came back a star. He is now one of the highest-selling artists in the music business. Josh Groban, welcome to Wait, Wait,
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. My goodness, what a delight.
It's a pleasure. So that story, which we've read a number of places, is that true?
It is true. It's one of the last kind of old school Hollywood, I feel like you said, a star is born kind
it's
of
like
thing.
That.
I had sung for a wonderful producer named David Foster, who discovered me and produced a lot of my stuff, at a charity event just kind of randomly 2 weeks prior to that night. And he called, he found my parents' number. I was living at home, obviously, and said, hey, you were great at this event. Look, I've written this song. Andrea Bocelli is supposed to sing it at the Grammys, but you know, he's stuck on a plane, he can't get here. Hey, would you mind stepping in for him? And you know, when you're 17, you have no sense of like, this is my moment. You're just so kind of into everything that's in your myopic high school world. So I said to him, oh man, you know, I'm a baritone, he's a tenor, and also like I've got this history test, and I just I was born and raised in Los Angeles, but my parents are very kind of like real world. I was not a show busy kid. I really was thinking to myself, ooh, that's a really big job. You really should get someone else for that. So he called me back about 20 minutes later and said, I don't think you heard me correctly.
Wait a minute, hold on. You turned him down.
I did. I actually said no. And just at the very moment, my mom was going, what did you say? He calls me back and he said, get your ass over to the Shrine Auditorium at 3:00. I will see you there. You don't have a choice in the matter. And he didn't give me any passes or anything. It's just me and my dad, like telling this enormous bodyguard at the door, hey, this is my son Josh. He's supposed to sing a duet with Celine Dion in 20 minutes. And they're like, sure he is. Yeah, sure. and I sang my face off. And that was kind of a...
Were you nervous?
Oh, I was absolutely terrified. Terrified because, you know, that was when the Grammys were still in a theater. Like now it's this arena spectacle it's just this abyss when you look out from the stage. But when it was at the Shrine Auditorium, you could see Steven Tyler was chatting with Madonna waiting to go on stage. Like they're just sitting out there waiting for rehearsals. So it was terrifying, but it made for a great story when I had to postpone that history test.
So did you get Celine Dion to give you a note? Dear history teacher.
Yes.
And then, I mean, it's just like, and then Rosie O'Donnell had you on her show, right?
Well, she was the host that year. And then after I was done singing, I was like, I was sitting in the audience and I was like, Dad, you know, was that okay? And Rosie just goes, Hey, opera kid. I want you on my talk show. You got 90 seconds. I want you to sing a song.
You were in the Rosie O'Donnell show, and then that got you a part on Ally McBeal.
That's right, yes.
Was there a single touchstone of 90s culture you did not participate in?
I don't think so. No, I never guessed it on Friends.
Yeah.
But it really was serendipity because Robert Downey Jr. Was going to get married to Calista Flockhart on that episode of Ally McBeal, and I was going to be the 22nd wedding singer.
Yeah.
And then Robert Downey Jr., who is one of the greats of all time and one of the kindest people I've ever met, he had a little bit of trouble at that point in his life, and so he was arrested and could not make it to set. And so, again, it was like, hey, kid, can you act?
This is sort of mysterious.
Yeah, this is weird. So wait a minute. So Andrea Bocelli gets stuck on a plane.
Yeah.
Robert Downey gets arrested. Robert Downey Jr. gets arrested, and all of a sudden, and you benefit.
Well, look, I had just become a junior member of the Illuminati, so it was really just kind of like things just started to happen for me.
You know what's weird is that Sting was going to be our guest, and he fell backward onto a fork. And all of a sudden, Josh Groban was right there saying, hey, I'm available. It sounds like... Once you were discovered, once your career became possible and you were offered a record contract, people said, well, this is your voice, this is what people want from you, let's produce that. Is there anything that you wish you could do now that you're not doing?
You need to do Broadway.
Well, I am going to be doing Broadway.
Well, that's...
I'm actually making my debut in the fall with a brilliant new show written by Dave Malloy called Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
You were Tevye in high school,
right? I certainly was, Mo. Yes, I was a 16-year-old Tevye. And actually, that was one of the things I said to David E. Kelly when he asked me if I could act on Ally McBeal. I said,
no.
Without any irony in my answer, I was just like, well, if it matters, I was just Tevye at the Los Angeles County High School for the Arts. which I
my
had,
notices
which I had
were quite good.
Yes, they were. We had
my
really,
aunt Sylvia thought I was excellent.
Josh, this could, you know, in terms of the different kind of music you want to sing and the way that you've come into your jobs, I happen to have read that one of the singers from AC/DC has been have to leave his tour because he was told that he's going to go deaf. If he continues to play.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you might want to just check in with AC/DC.
I will. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can take over.
It's yes.
That would be awesome.
Yes. AC stands for Adult Contemporary, right?
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Okay,
well, Josh Groban, we are delighted to talk to you. But we have asked you here to play a game that this time we are calling
You Bring Me Down.
So you had a big hit with You Raise Me Up, so we thought we'd ask you three questions about things that actually lift you up and bring you down, namely elevators and escalators. Answer two of these questions correctly, and you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice in your voicemail. Bill, who is Josh Groban playing for?
Ellen Lee from New York, New York.
All right, you ready to do this?
Yes.
The first escalator was installed at Harrods Department Store in London in 1889, but it was not entirely automatic. It had an attendant on duty at all times to do what? A, to quickly cut away the clothing of any passenger caught in the escalator before they were dragged into the gears and crushed. B, to stand back 30 feet from the top of the escalator and catch any passengers thrown into the air, as happened when the thing suddenly sped up from time to time. Or C, to provide alcohol to any passengers traumatized by the experience.
Ah. Oh, man. Ooh. I'm gonna go with alcohol.
You're right. It was a guy who stood there. Apparently, people were so freaked out by this moving stairway that sometimes they became faint, and he had smelling salts and medicinal brandy for them to revive their spirits.
Born in the wrong time, I was.
Exactly. Here in the United States, we are used to your basic escalator. You get in, you push a button, it takes you where you want to go. But Some elevators around the world have some special features, such as which of these? A, in Romania, many elevators have little coffee shops in them to get a snack and a drink while you go up and down. B, in Chile, there is a tradition of live elevator musicians. Mm. Or C, in Singapore, urine detectors will lock the elevator and alert police if anyone chooses to use that elevator as a toilet.
Ooh. I'm going to go with that one.
You're right again.
Okay.
And that is in fact the case.
Oh,
they're very, very committed to public hygiene.
Yes.
So don't be doing that in Singapore.
Don't do that.
All right. Last question. You go for perfect here. Elevators, like everything else, I guess, have their enthusiasts. Which of these is a real elevator-related hobby? A, homebrew elevation, people who build full-size elevators without a building. B, elevator filmers, people who go around the world and film elevators in operation from the inside. Or C, elevator racers, people who compete to see who can ride an elevator faster from the lobby to the top floor.
I still do that with my little brother at the Beverly Center in Los Angeles. I'm going to say people who build elevators without the building.
It's so interesting an idea.
It's a great idea, but it's not true. It's not elevator true. Filmers.
Elevator filmers.
It's elevator filmers.
Oh,
and if you go into YouTube, you can see these guys. They go. It's amazing. They go into elevators, say, well, I'm in the Park Hyatt. This is a new elevator.
Yes.
And they press the button, and then you hear them going, whoa, this is great.
And they're documenting it.
They're documenting the elevator.
They're live videoing their experience in the elevator.
Yes. Bill, how did Josh Groban do in our quiz?
2 out of 3. You're still a winner.
I'm
absolutely
still a winner. Thank you.
And that's all that matters.
That's true.
Josh Groban's album Stages is out now, and you can see him on tour this summer starting July 15th. Josh Groban, thank you so much
for having me. I really
for being on our show.
Thank
Josh Groban, ladies and gentlemen.
You raise me up so I can stand on my